Hi, I'm your friend Claude.
And I'm just Jamie.
And today we're talking once again about cartoons. However, we're limiting it strictly to the opening themes this time. Because really, when the dust settles and the years go by, what else do you remember about most cartoons from your childhood? Besides their hopefully excellent, and in these cases, excellent opening themes.
We're picking our favorites coming up next on the Nerd Bomber Podcast. So yeah, favorite cartoon intros and theme songs.
It's definitely the thing that sticks with you the longest and gives you those warm fuzzies on the inside when you hear them or see them.
So we've each picked a selection of our favorites. What do you have, 12?
I've got 13 numbered favorites ranked and a few honorable mentions to boot.
I have 11, so I guess that makes who's going to start easy. We'll burn off your two first.
This will be a five-part show. All right, so, we'll start at my... Well, do you want to go through honorable mentions? Just kind of list them off in quick succession and to get them out of the way? Or how do you want to do it? You're the boss here.
Well, let's save that for the end, just in case some of yours are on my list.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so, again, I have lucky 13 ranked intros here. We're going to start with a show that debuted in 1995 and ran for two seasons, Freakazoid.
Oh, I don't have that. Okay.
So yeah, that's my number 13, and then my number 12, which debuted in 1991 and ran for three seasons, is Darkwing Duck.
How could I? I totally forgot about that. God, great choice.
Darkwing Duck is the only one of the that group of four cartoons that made my ranked list.
Wow.
Some other close calls. I'm sure we may talk about them as we go, so we'll find out.
Foreshadowing.
Well, I don't know your list, and you don't know mine, so I guess we'll find out.
Truth. All right, that takes us to our respective number 11s. Would you like to hit your number 11?
I think it's fair that you have a turn.
Okay, here we go. One word. Gem.
Wow, Gem. Yeah, I never would have considered that one.
It's, I mean, as a boy, it's not probably among the cartoons I've watched most often, but that theme is damn catchy. So, yeah.
Gem had a little run recently. I don't know on what channel. It's probably Boomerang or something like that, because I remember turning it on in the mornings when my kids would be getting ready for school, eating their cereal or whatever. And it had a little sort of syndicated run here within the last couple of years.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So it's actually pretty funny. The show is definitely a show that is on. I'm not going to say too much about how good it is, but it does have a good intro. You're absolutely right.
It was it lasted 3 years, 85 to 88. And had a terrible live-action movie in 2015 that was so bad it was pulled from theaters after 2 weeks.
Yikes. All right, so the next one is the oldest cartoon on my list. Debuted in 1980 and ran for two seasons. It is Thundar the Barbarian.
Thundar the Barbarian. The year 1994. From out of space comes a runaway planet hurtling between the Earth and the Moon. Unleashing cosmic destruction.
That is an excellent choice.
It's not especially, it's, you know, a lot of the other ones, a lot of cartoon intros are like, the best animation you'll ever see on the show is in the intro. You know, the intro music is rock and rolling.
Right.
But I really like Thunder. It tells like a cool story, and I just always been a big fan of the show as well.
It does have one of the best kind of synopsis intros that you can get.
Absolutely.
All right. My number 10 is, well, we're going to go with a two-season cartoon from CBS called Dungeons & Dragons.
Hey, look! A Dungeons & Dragons ride! Wow, neat!
Give me a break.
Wow, okay, all right.
Obviously based on the board game and running from 83 to 85.
It's a tabletop role-playing game, just to be clear.
Sorry. I didn't have any attachment to the property at all until the cartoon came out. It's got that classic intro format of basically kids getting whisked through a portal into the world. They get on a theme park ride, and I don't know, just something about it always gets me.
Yeah, that seems like a cartoon I should have watched, but I never did. So there must have been something else on that I was changing the channel to, and who knows what that was. So that was your number 10.
Yes.
So my number 10 is the cartoon actually that debuted the most recently on my list. Mm-hmm. Debuted in 2007, technically ran for four seasons, but it has something like 220 episodes, and it didn't stop running new episodes until 2015. So that's 8 years of new episodes, but technically only four seasons because they produced so many.
Weird.
At any rate, the show is Phineas and Ferb.
There's 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe
building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist. Hey! Or give it a monkey a shower.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that recent.
Yeah, not something I probably would have watched on my own. My kids were into it, and I think it's one of the better like kid cartoons that's been on in the last decade. It was really good, funny, witty, with humor that sort of, you know, applied to anybody watching as any good cartoon should have.
Right.
I highly recommend Phineas and Ferb.
All right. I am going to choose a cartoon that basically is it ties into my previous pick because it basically takes everything about the Dungeons and Dragons intro and concept and puts it on steroids, and who doesn't love that? And it is King Arthur and the Knights of Justice.
And then from the field of the future, a new king will come to save the world of the past.
That was a lesser-known cartoon, totally airing in syndication. I want to say 91 or 92. Yeah, it's 92. Only one season, but I loved it. And it's everything. It's hair metal. It's, you know, swords and everything great.
It's funny because when you describe, now I never watched the Dungeons & Dragons show, but when you describe the intro, what I picture was King Arthur and the Knights of Justice. That is the show that I actually, again, I didn't watch it regularly, but I did catch it once in a while as a kid. I'm sure of that.
Right.
So that's what I picture in my head when you describe the other one.
Yeah, it's the same idea.
All right, so my number 9 debuted in 92, surprisingly only actually ran for two seasons. I think the show evolved into different forms after that. Batman the Animated Series.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, so you're going with strictly the original incarnation.
Right. I'm sure, like, so the show evolved, so two seasons probably doesn't quite describe what happened. But two seasons in the original incarnation, like you just said. And
right.
Yeah, you know, it's a classic intro. Definitely a different vibe than most cartoon intros, especially in that time. You know, the 90s were radical, man.
Right.
And this was kind of like the furthest thing from that stylistically.
Exactly.
But obviously very iconic.
Yeah. Yeah, so what are we on here? Number 9?
Sounds right.
We're on my number 8. And you'll be doing your number 8 afterwards.
Accurate.
And for my number 8, I am going with you had a Disney show already. Here's my first Disney pick. Gargoyles.
I forgot about Gargoyles, honestly.
It's, we have 3-year run, the first 2 years in syndication, and the last one ABC picked it up for Saturday mornings. And, yeah, I watched a lot of it, but not much outside of the intro sticks with me. I think it was all instrumental theme, and it really gets stuck in your head.
Yeah, I think the show, it wasn't so much that it was noir, but I think stylistically it sort of took its cues from a show like Batman the Animated Series,
right.
Especially in terms of like sort of the design of like the physical characters.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it a lot either, but I knew I liked it when I watched it. Again, it must have been a case of there was something else on that was taking me away from it. But yeah, that was a good show. And that's funny because I don't have much memory of the intro, but I know I liked the show, even though
right.
I didn't watch it all the time. So
well,
that's a weird one.
There's two things about it that always pulled me in. One was the concept of they were, you know, statues by day and then came alive at night. And then, like, at least 3 Star Trek Next Generation actors were voice actors on the cast.
Right.
So that's always a plus.
Okay, so my number 8 debuted in 1991 and ran, surprisingly, I was surprised to see it ran for 4 seasons. Tasmania.
Welcome to Atlantis way, under, down, under. The sky's always yellow in rain or shine.
Come to Tasmania, come to Tasmania.
Up to lark, why I dance with a bump on a lawn. While it's all fired up, we'll take place with the dawn.
Come to Tasmania, come to Tasmania.
Oh, excellent pick.
I always like the Tasmania theme.
Yep.
And I always like that show, too. It had a very dry wit to it.
Yeah.
Especially the father figure in that cartoon. So I always got a kick out of it.
Yep, I agree 100%.
I can't help but, you know, a lot of my intros here are also attached to cartoons that I enjoyed. I think it'd be impossible to be like, I really like that intro, even though I didn't like the cartoon. These are all cartoons that I watched and enjoyed and liked.
Yeah, same here. Some more than others, but I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
All right, my next pick is something that we've spoken about before, probably more than once in this show, and yet it just keeps rearing its head. It is none other than Captain Planet.
Heart, go planet!
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. He's our powers magnified, and he's fighting on the planet side.
Oh, another one I overlooked for this list.
Probably. I feel like you can't have an intro countdown without Captain Planet.
You're absolutely right, and it probably would have made my list if I had been thinking about it. I don't know what I would have cut. But it probably would have made the cut.
Yeah, so for the rest of the information about the show, go back a couple episodes and check those out.
So my number 7, actually, this attaches to my previous number 8, which was Tasmania. This is the show that was a precursor to Tasmania. Debuted in 1990, ran for 3 seasons, Tiny Toons.
We're tiny, we're toony, we're all a little loony. And in this cartoony, we're invading your TV.
I knew that'd be on your list at some point.
It's a good one.
Nice. Yeah, that's you can't not have that on an intro countdown either.
I'm going to pick none other than Silverhawks.
Yeah, yeah. That, you know what? I also considered this, even though I don't think I've ever seen a single episode of it.
Yeah.
It's the only one I even would have thought about considering,
right,
having never watched the show.
It's just so good. And it was another one of those that had, it must have been an everyday airing, because it was only one season in 1986, but yet it had 65 episodes.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, as I was looking up that kind of stuff, I was looking for, you know, the years that the show debuted, how many seasons it ran. I couldn't also help but notice the number of episodes. And yeah, it's all over the place with cartoons. It's funny that the season orders were kind of hard to predict. I guess maybe they get a lot bigger orders now because the animation is so much easier.
Right.
You know, with the technology that they can use than it was 20 or 30 years ago.
That's true.
Plus, although your Silverhawks thing kind of flies in the face of that, because came out of the 80s with one season and 65 episodes. So
sometimes I think they're affected too by, like, they'll be half in syndication and half on a network. And,
right.
You know, you just never know.
And also some shows, you know, some of the comedy shows run, you know, it's one episode, but it's two stories.
Yeah.
So they count them separately. You get double the number of episodes.
Right.
All right. So my number six, my phone just turned to landscape and I don't want it like that. There we go. My number six cartoon intro debuted in 1986, ran for two seasons. One of my favorite cartoons of all time, Centurions.
In the near future, Doc Terror and his cyborg companion Hacker unleash their forces to conquer Earth. Only one force can stop this evil, a handful of brave men. In specially created exoframes, they can be transported anywhere to fuse with incredible assault weapon systems beamed down from the space station Sky Vault, becoming man and machine, power extreme.
I would not have considered that. That's an excellent sleeper pick.
I've sung the praises of the show before on this podcast, and the intro sits right up there in quality with the show, in my opinion. And again, kind of just tells the story, but it's a little bit cheesy because of the names of the characters, again, are so connected to what their role on the team is. It's kind of absurd,
right?
But I can't help but get a kick out of it.
Well, I guess that brings us to the top five. And
moving quickly.
Yeah. Starting with my number five, none other than CBS's 1984 debut, Muppet Babies.
I've got my computer. I'll play the piano.
Is everything all right in here?
Yes, Nanny.
Oh, man, that's a good one. That is a good one.
That was a last-minute addition for me.
Yep.
I almost forgot about it, but that song just gets stuck in your head.
Absolutely, and it will now.
Yeah.
That was a really good show, too. I mean, you know, that was one of my first sort of like, there was so much pop culture, referential pop culture in that show.
Yeah.
It's just funny that show almost, it might represent my first experiences with things like Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark and the different, you know, sort of the backdrops that they would give as they have their pretend play adventures. It's just kind of funny how a lot of that might have been my first exposure to those things.
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah, I'm probably right there with you. And it was also on for a lot longer than I thought. 7 years, 84 to 91.
Holy moly, I would not have guessed that. All right, so my top five begins with a show that debuted in 95 and ran for five seasons, Animaniacs.
Sadie to the max. So kiss your back and relax. You'll let me show you my Animaniacs. Down and the water sister Dot.
Just for fun, we run around the water movie lot. They lock us in the tower whenever we get caught. But we break loose and they're bubbles and now we know the plot.
Ah. Yeah, yeah. How do you not have Animaniacs? I forgot all about it.
So that's three from that sort of series of shows. I've had Tasmania, Tiny Toons, and now Animaniacs, all from that like WB group of shows.
Yeah, they all have really well done themes.
And actually, I had a fourth because one of the early ones that I mentioned was Freakazoid.
Oh, right.
And that was out of the same studio, the same animation people did Freakazoid that did Tiny Toons, Tasmania, and Animaniacs.
That was probably their last hurrah, wasn't it? It was, like, chronologically, Freakazoid?
Actually, Animaniacs debuted in 95.
Freakazoid was earlier?
I think so.
Oh. Oh, okay.
I could double-check that. You see, what I've been doing is deleting from my list as soon as I mention a thing. So I've already lost that information.
Oh. For some reason, I just remember Freakazoid coming out later in my life, for whatever reason. I don't know.
The first episode debuted in 1995, so it came out at the same time.
Okay.
But was a lot shorter run.
Gotcha. All right.
So, yeah, Animaniacs.
Well, for my number four, I'm going to stick with the anthropomorphized animal cartoon.
All right.
And go with the good old classic, DuckTales.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes, it's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales, woo! Every day they're out there making DuckTales, woo! Tales of daring, do bad and not DuckTales.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I considered this, strongly considered it.
It's, I couldn't resist. It's probably, you know, you always get random cartoon songs in your head out of nowhere, and that is one of the most often ones that happens to me to this day. And for what it's worth, it was syndicated, and it lasted for three seasons, 87 to 90.
It's funny, because that was one of sort of a four-show block of Disney cartoons.
Yeah.
Along with Tailspin, Chip and Dale's, Rescue Rangers, and the one that made my list was Darkwing Duck.
Right.
And it's funny because DuckTales probably, it might have the most iconic song, even though it didn't make my list. Of those four shows, it was probably the one I watched the least of.
Mm.
Not that I didn't like it at all, but for some reason, I just didn't see as much of that one.
Hmm.
All right, so my number four, I am also going to be speaking about anthropomorphized animals. Anthropomorphized?
I think I added a syllable.
One of those. You can just edit in the right one later.
All right.
Is a show that debuted in 1993, ran for two seasons. I happen to know this show actually got really good ratings, but I think it debuted for under the Turner broadcast umbrella, and they decided that it was too violent for kids, and they canceled it even though it was doing well. Unfortunately, nobody picked it up. So, only ran for two seasons, and that is SWAT Cats.
Ah.
Yes, indeed. The Radical Squadron.
Nice.
Even though it's only two of them and they fly one plane. I don't know what you need in order for it to be a squadron, but...
For some reason, when you said Turner, I thought it was like the newer incarnation of Tom and Jerry or something. Kind of would fit.
I happened to hear some of this information. I was listening to Talking Tunes with Rob Paulson, who's a very famous voice actor and did the voice of Razor on SWAT Cats. And he was just talking about how he was surprised the show got canceled because they knew they were doing pretty well.
Hmm.
And yet they got the rug pulled out from under them.
Well, they were a little ahead of the curve with that type of... I feel like for some reason it's like a spiritual predecessor to things like Street Sharks or Biker Mice from Mars or that kind of show.
Yeah, 1993. I mean, it's probably what... I don't know the year debuts of those other shows. I'd have to look it up. But
I don't either.
I mean, it was right along the same time as those, of those at least.
They're all like kick-ass animals.
Yeah.
which brings us to my next pick. Not kick-ass animals, but
no less kick-ass. 5-year run on the Fox Kids Network from 92 to 97. Of course, it is X-Men.
Indeed, you have stolen this from my list, but I think from here on we're going to be kind of yeah. going back and forth here. X-Men was my number 2 pick.
Wow.
So we'll just find the checkmark emoji so I remember not to mention it.
Off by one, not too bad.
It's great. It's so memorable. I love that show so much.
Yep.
The intro is just really, really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's weird because I always have a soft spot in my heart for the X-Men, and I've always wished that the movies were just a little bit better, even though a couple of them are pretty good. But that cartoon, it almost gives me, like, the warm, fuzzy, like, almost like the cry reaction.
The
like,
intro?
Like, bump in my throat. Like, I want to, like, just get emotional about it because I just love the show so much. And I just think it's so good. It's hard to explain, but, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, well, you know, honestly, it was also, I think we mentioned this before on a different episode, but it's the first cartoon I remember ever seeing one of the characters actually die. So that might play into it.
Have it be for real and serious yeah. and permanent. All right, so my number 3 pick, again, I'm sure this is on your list somewhere, ran for 10 seasons, debuted in 1987, none other than the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that was my very next one.
So we've basically traded off X-Men and TMNT. Yep.
Your revenge is complete.
So yeah, obviously this was the thing we've talked about before. You know, we both have an appreciation for a lot of the stuff that came out in the 80s, but a lot of the stuff we were watching already happened by the time we were watching it.
Right.
We were already seeing it in reruns and syndication. Things like Transformers or He-Man.
Yeah.
So the Turtles hit when we were the right age for them. 1987, this, 5 years old, that was so perfect.
This was truly our cartoon, our property, I guess.
It really was.
The only thing I can add to that is that it was, for whatever reason, my recollections of it were always watching it on CBS, but it was syndicated until 1990 and then on CBS for 90 to 96.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
So now we jump to the number one because we've both done our twos and threes in opposite order. So
I'm willing
to
bet it's the same. We both picked the same one.
It's
here.
So good.
What is it?
Thundercats.
Of course.
It's just so good. I mean, by the way, Thundercats debuted in 85, ran for 4 seasons, which is surprising because it actually sort of outstrips its contemporaries
yeah.
in terms of its sort of long-lasting success. You know, Transformers technically had 4 seasons, but really it's only the 2 seasons plus the movie.
Right.
The 3rd and 4th seasons are not generally well thought of. He-Man, I think, only had 2 seasons. And G.I. Joe, I think, only had 2 seasons.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but...
So it's surprising because Thundercats is maybe the least iconic of those, even though it's my personal favorite. But yeah, a 4-season run starting in 85 and the best cartoon intro, and I don't think it's close.
Well, it's interesting because
There's no Thundercats. The intro to the cartoon is hands down the greatest cartoon intro ever concocted. But it's interesting to note that the same studio was responsible for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and for Silverhawks, and along with other cartoons like Tiger Sharks. But three of those made my list, so I suppose there was something in the water over at Ted Wolf Productions.
Well, clearly they knew what they were doing. I mean, it is, you know, I mean, first of all, the animation in the intro is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, the music's really good, and it's a little bit trippy. You know, they don't try to sort of animate things directly from the cartoon. It's just like showing the characters. And I don't know. It's just the best there is. I mean, as much as I like some of these other intros, like I said, X-Men would be next on my list.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for you, and then we switch.
Right.
This one is really first place, and there's no debate.
No.
Everything else I debated, thought it over, but number one on my list was put there from the very beginning when I started thinking about this topic, and it never moved.
Yeah, it's easy to start with Thundercats and work backwards.
Indeed.
How about them honorable mentions?
All right, I've got a bunch here. Do you want me just to read through mine, and then... You want to go one at a time? How do you want to work it?
Yeah, you go through yours. I might only have one or two.
I've got a bunch here. So I already mentioned sort of the other Disney shows that were on in the 90s. I had DuckTales, or you had DuckTales on your list. I had Darkwing Duck. The other two were Tailspin and Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers.
Yeah.
Both really good. Tailspin was probably the show, out of those four, that was the show I watched and enjoyed the most.
It's the one I saw most often, but I remember getting so annoyed with it because for a while it seemed like I would see the same couple episodes over and over again, so I had to take a break, but it is great.
I could see that being the case. The next up are two that I think maybe would get forgotten in a conversation like this because we're mostly thinking Saturday morning cartoons, things like that. Simpsons and Futurama.
Ah, yeah.
Simpsons, absolutely. Obviously, they have their famous couch gag and all the Easter eggs that pop up throughout their intro.
Yeah.
And Futurama, I just love the music. And actually, I'm going to speak heresy here. I like Futurama better than I like The Simpsons.
Yeah. Well, I could see that, especially after a certain point in The Simpsons run, for sure.
They can still produce a good laugh, The Simpsons can. It's just not as consistent. It's just Futurama was just so dense with jokes.
Right.
Just so smart. I love that show. Okay. The next sort of pairing I have are both, well, they're not really from the same era, but they're similarly conceived cartoons. One is Fairly Odd Parents, and the next is Dexter's Laboratory.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, those are both pretty good. And I didn't have this on my list, but I think probably Pinky and the Brain deserves a mention. I mean, you know, it kind of was a spinoff from Animaniacs, but it did become its own show.
I know that it became its own thing, but I'll always consider it as a segment on Animaniacs for some reason.
Yeah, I think that's my first instinct.
Yeah.
But I just thought I'd throw it out there. It's not officially on the list, so, you know.
It does have
doesn't
a
hurt anything.
Catchy theme.
The next one I have here is one that you briefly mentioned before, Biker Mice from Mars.
Mm.
I used to really like that show, and I hate that it's kind of thought of as sort of a, derivative of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and those things, just because I liked it. It might be derivative. It might be sort of a straight up, semi-copy of a show like that, but I did like it. And my last one for my honorable mentions is a show from the 90s that I really loved. I thought it was hilarious. A Pup Named Scooby-Doo.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great choice. Damn.
I thought you'd like that one.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I love that show.
They had a kid on it named Red Herring. I mean, how great is that?
Exactly. Yeah, everything about that show is fantastic. A couple of the ones that I'll honorably mention here are, I don't know if we mentioned it briefly, but you got to go with G.I. Joe. Almost made the cut. Great theme. I think that the ending morals get stuck in my head more often than the opening theme, though, for that show.
You know, I know that it's like, it's in the hopper of things that are like, the nostalgia from our childhood, but I just have like zero G.I. Joe exposure.
Wow.
Like, I don't know. I might have watched two episodes in my entire life, including as a child. Again, I don't know what I was changing the channel to. Maybe it was my sister's turn to pick something and she wanted to watch whatever, Strawberry Shortcake or something on the other, on the other station, whatever it was. But for some reason, I never watched G.I. Joe.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know we had slightly different channel options, but I remember G.I. Joe being on at an inconvenient time most often.
Maybe that's what it was.
So that could be part of it, yeah.
you know, and me and my sister at that time, we're not watching similar shows. You know, maybe you, with the experience of your brother, you could get away with, like, sort of both liking the same cool stuff because you're the cool older brother in that time. But, you know, my sister wanted to watch different things, like, not to make it sort of, you know, gender stereotypes, but she wanted to watch Rainbow Bright and, you know, Strawberry Shortcake or whatever. And so every once in a while, I would have to bite the bullet and change it away from whatever I wanted to watch. As long as I got my Transformers and Thundercats, that's what I had to settle for. And then later on, Teenage Ninja Turtles and all the
All the cartoons that start with T were the heavy hitters.
I guess so. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I'm taking a page out of your book a little bit with the Simpsons pick, but I'm going to the originator, the Flintstones.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
theme is to this day, it's everybody knows what that is, even if you've never seen the show.
It's true. It's everybody knows it right away. I actually just watched the Flintstones movie with my kids, the John Goodman, Rick Moranis, and they do sort of a version of it. But you're absolutely right. The Jetsons, too, I'll throw in there. I mean, the Jetsons probably maybe less so.
Yeah, nearly, though.
But again, because I'm a contrarian, I always preferred the Jetsons to the Flintstones.
Well.
Maybe that's just the sci-fi element I thought was cool or whatever.
Space is cooler. I like the movie reference for the Flintstones because it was the B-52s, or at least some of them, doing the theme.
Yeah, yeah, and they do a cameo in movie singing. It's like Bedrock Shake Shake. I don't know what the name of the song actually is, but they're at the the Tavern on the Green. But it's not. It's some sort of
rock name reference,
right? It's named different though. I can't remember what it's called.
Slabvern,
right? Exactly. It looks like it's basically a restaurant in Stonehenge. Is the way it's presented.
Nice. So for my last honorable mention, we're gonna go back to the Disney Afternoon. Well. And pick Gummy Bears. It's, probably, in terms of the catchiness or the borderline annoyingness of a song that gets stuck in your head, it's got to be number one.
Well, right, I don't know. There. I don't know about that, but it is catchy, and it does get in your head immediately. Now, I never consider Gummy Bears part of that main block of Disney shows.
Yeah.
Did it predate them?
I think it did predate them a little bit, and I think it was also either started on ABC while everybody else started in syndication, or vice versa. But they were on at slightly different times and channels.
Right. So I do want to mention one more, and it's definitely one of the more annoying ones. Now, even though I like the show, a lot of people have mixed feelings about it, but you can't deny that it's one of the most successful cartoons of all time. SpongeBob SquarePants. You know, it's not that it's a great intro in terms of the music being good or the animation being anything special or anything like that, but it is, like, everybody knows, are you ready, kids?
Right.
You know, everybody knows that. It's in the vernacular. It's in our sort of shared consciousness.
Right.
So I think it deserves mention for its sort of, really, that cartoon deserves a little bit more credit than it gets, I think, for being the wild success that it was. I mean, it essentially is the second most successful cartoon ever made.
Especially at the time. After The Simpsons. At the time it came out. It was basically the dead zone for cartoons in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you're coming up on the fact that, I mean, SpongeBob is getting close to 20 years it's been around.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
And they still produce new episodes. They don't do full seasons. They do like 5 specials every year, like 5 new episodes a year or something. That's what they've been doing the last few years. So they don't do full seasons, but still the episode count's huge and its success. I just think it deserves recognition when it gets overlooked a lot.
Right.
And that intro definitely gets into your brain and never ever leaves.
I could easily see that being somebody's number one pick. This isn't an honorable mention for me, but when you said annoying cartoon themes, I actually was afraid you were going to say cat dog for a minute. That used to play on the speaker when I worked at Toys R Us on loop.
Little cat dog.
I heard that thing probably 10 times a day.
I considered a lot of those sort of silly cartoons and like, you know, I'm like, the intro it's not in my head, so it must not be that important. But I went through some of them anyway. Like I looked at cat dog and. You know, Rocko's Modern Life, actually, for me, is a pretty important one, because I really liked Rocko's Modern Life. But I considered Eek the Cat.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, it had a sideshow, the Terrible Thunder Lizards.
Yep.
And even though that might not count as its own thing. You know, Ren and Stimpy. But, yeah, their intros. Probably Rocko's Modern Life, for me, would be the most significant of those, but a lot of those shows didn't have, like, amazing intros.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I suppose that brings our list to a close. I wonder what you would have picked for your own list. Perhaps we'll find out. Until then, I have been your friend Claude.
And I have been just Jamie.
Bye.
Later.
Bomber Podcast is a Ghost Factory Internet production brought to you by the WHAM Network.